Today's podcast is going to cover some issues that have been in the news lately.
Certainly have been in the news.
Especially with the recent confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, but also over the past year, the entire Me Too movement.
Exactly.
So today we're going to talk about information from an article entitled Beyond No Means No from the Washington Post.
Right. Over the weekend, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed as the ninth Supreme Court. Now we have nine judges again. Mm-hmm. With the passing of Antonin Scalia, we went down to eight. Okay, mm-hmm. So now we have nine, and Roberts will be the deciding vote if there's a tie. But one of the issues that dominated this selection process was that he was accused of sexually assaulting a young woman when they were in high school, and there were some other accusations made. We don't want to talk about that. What we want to talk about is the whole issue of consent,
right?
Because it's become a very it has always been, mm-hmm. and that I think what we have to remember is that none of this began with the Me Too movement or with the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh. This has been an issue for men and for women for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It is being discussed in a different way today because of the Me Too movement.
Right.
Because with the Me Too movement, women's accusations mm-hmm. were taken more seriously.
Right.
And as a result, people lost their jobs, mm-hmm. were put into jail. You know, and for the first time, it feels like women had a voice and they were finally being heard that,
right.
you know, this really is sexual assault.
Right.
And so, with the Kavanaugh hearings, it was raised to a fever pitch. I mean, the nation was transfixed last week. So we thought, let's talk about this. It's an exceedingly important issue for boys mm-hmm. in this day and age. And as fathers who have sons, you know, it becomes an issue. What do you teach your sons? And so whereas sex education was once limited in scope,
mm-hmm.
The argument in this article is that it should now include a discussion about just what consent is.
Right.
And that's what this article is about.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's important to have a serious conversation about it, because there are a lot of, I'll use the word memes, and satire about it. You know, I recently saw a skit online where, you know, a guy and a girl are together and they're kind of making out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like every 30 seconds or so, they stop and the boy asks, you know, is this okay? And then they kiss a little bit and they stop and say, is it still okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of an exaggeration that kind of, I don't know if it necessarily pokes fun, but it certainly minimizes the importance of the issue of consent and how we are looking at it as a group.
Right. And in this article, they make a couple of key points. I think there are three or four really key points. One is the combination of alcohol mm-hmm. or the addition of alcohol into mm-hmm. this mix. I think that's the big problem is
mm-hmm.
that you have young people who are drinking, and when you drink, you lose inhibition and things happen. And there are degrees of inebriation.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, sort of let down your guard and be in a good mood all the way to blacking out and not knowing what you're doing at all. Or at least you don't have any recollection of what you did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger, is you're combining alcohol and at parties and people let their guard down. But the other point they make in this article, and in the context of the Kavanaugh hearings, is these all sex-segregated schools that are segregated by sex, where you have boys and girls who don't see each other on a regular basis, and they don't see each other in other contexts, in chemistry labs or math classes, or working on projects together, or participating in sports teams, or any kind of competition together. And the only time they get together is at parties. You know, mm-hmm. that's when they socialize.
Right.
Well, a party is a context.
Right.
Okay, it's a very different context. So if you tend to see girls only in that context, especially if alcohol is involved, mm-hmm. then it sets up a set of circumstances right. that are artificial to right. begin with. And so the focus becomes, you know, the other gender is put into that particular context.
Right.
Okay, you fuel it with alcohol, and it becomes a recipe for disaster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the
context is so important because right. it echoes much of what we talk about with social media mm-hmm. and things like that, because when we only communicate with each other in a restricted setting right. or in a restricted mm-hmm. way, as soon as we step outside of those that prescribed context,
right.
those interactions become much more difficult and much more foreign.
Right.
And so we will perhaps and oftentimes inappropriately apply sort of our norms in the wrong context.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so then it creates all kinds of other problems and, right. and issues. And
right. And we're not, only 24 states require some type of sex education, but right. usually it's limited to a biological discussion. You
right.
know, it's very prescriptive, it's very physical, biological, you know, this is reproduction and this is the reproductive cycle and all that stuff, in the hopes that if students learn more about reproduction that and safe sex, that they will that the students will somehow apply this. And
right.
only one state requires any discussion of consent. I think mm-hmm. Maryland has started to do that, but these are public schools, and so we don't know what private, if you're in a private school, it's up to your school
right.
to decide what to do about it. And so the point is that we're not really teaching anybody about consent. Mm-hmm. I mean, the public schools schools aren't teaching about consent. So it becomes the job of parents, which is legitimate. I mean, it
right.
should be parents who are talking to their kids. But the assumption, and this is one of the other major points, the assumption with boys, and the reason I mentioned sex education, is there's always been this assumption that boys are promiscuous and they're yeah. out, you know, doing things. And so, therefore, you know, the only thing they had to be careful of was being safe, you know, preventing pregnancy and being safe. So that became the discussion. You know,
right.
Don't get anybody pregnant. We know you're going to go out and boys will be boys and all that business. We know you're going to go out and you're going to be doing these things. So just make sure that you mm-hmm. don't get anybody pregnant, and make sure you keep yourself physically, health-wise,
right.
Safe, so you don't contract any diseases, communicable diseases.
Right.
And so there has always been this assumption. So the educational part has, for boys, has, when parents talk to their boys, it's usually about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, with the Me Too movement, the Kavanaugh hearings, we also have to add consent to that discussion.
Right.
Okay, and that's why this article, I think, is particularly relevant.
Right.
The other point they make, and I thought was a really good one, was parents will often say, well, you have to, you know, think of this as your mother or your sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you...
Right.
This isn't their mother or their sister.
Right.
This is a completely different context.
Exactly.
So it doesn't work.
Right.
You can talk all you want about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to say something, how would you want your sister to be treated?
Right.
That's different.
Yeah.
But for you to think of this as your mother, we hope you don't, in fact. You know, think, okay, this is a very different endeavor.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with your mother. It shouldn't have anything to do with your mother or your sister.
Okay? Right.
So that doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, now, I think that, well, we'll go finish with this, and then, because I think we need to really talk about what consent is.
Right, right. Because when you are in these situations, and boys are in these situations, and we have to be very careful. Boys are now put at risk,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the risk is that once you put alcohol in the mix, which you talked mm-hmm. about earlier,
right.
People often don't remember things clearly. And mm-hmm. this article brings up one very, I think, cogent,
right.
important point, and that is, you drive somebody home. The mother gave this, recounted the story of her son, did the right thing. Mm-hmm. A girl had way too much to drink, And he drove her home. He was sober, so he drove her home. Well, if she gets up the next morning, you know, and says, well, the last thing I remember is I was in Dr. Bernie's car. You know, Dr. Bernie did a nice thing, but the last thing I remember is I was in Dr. Bernie's car. And then this story gets told. Mm-hmm. Well, that implicates you. Nobody knows because nobody else was there. You can deny it. But if she says, this is the last thing I remember before, that puts you in a very precarious legal position. Okay. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Because once you're accused, how do you defend yourself? There are no witnesses. So the days of being kind and considerate, now boys have to be very careful. So that's one issue. You want to talk about consent, what consent is, because there are two good tips, I think, that we want to give at the end of this, leave listeners with two very good pieces of advice. So let's talk about consent.
So consent is, well, we obviously know that consent is that we're agreeing and that this is something that both of us want to do. And there are some limitations to consent. I think you mentioned, you know, when we've been talking about alcohol, for example. When you're intoxicated, your ability to consent is impaired. And so I just want to mention a couple of those kinds of things first, because we tend to think that, and this is for guys and girls, we tend to think that it's, you know, if a person consents or a person says that they want to engage in some activity, or they are willing, a willing participant in particular activity, when you're intoxicated, it impairs your ability to make fully informed decisions. And so what we're starting to see in many cases is that even saying, even if a person acts as though they want it at the time that it's happening, if alcohol is involved, later it can come back that, you know, it wasn't an informed consent.
Really consensual. You know, there's buyer's remorse. You know? Like, it seemed like a good idea last night in that context. I wake up in the morning in my home with my parents and family around, and I'm thinking, it was really a bad decision.
And I think it's horrible because I think the girls tend to be looked at sort of sideways when they change, when they quote change their perspective the next morning, when they have that remorse the next morning. But it's not that they're changing their mind. It's that when those things were happening the night before, they were under the influence, and they weren't fully capable of making the informed decisions that they wanted to make or that they would have otherwise made. So whenever alcohol or any substance is involved, we have to remember, and again, this is something we should, we have to teach our boys, you have to adjust your expectations, you have to adjust what's happening in those contexts, because you don't know if it's a true consent or if it's a, you know, impaired consent.
Which may change a few hours later.
And it may change for the boy too.
It could change for both of them. I shouldn't have done that. You know, that was not a good decision that I made last night. So one of the things, one of the important points is alcohol. I mean, I think that's one of the things we have to talk about, because it is a disinhibitor. You lose your inhibition. When I'm giving talks, I'll say to the audience, you know, right now none of you would think about throwing yourselves in a swimming pool with your clothes on. You just wouldn't do that right now. But if you have a couple of margaritas and you're with your friends and you're talking to them, then it seems like a perfectly legitimate, you know, reasonable thing to do, okay? So add a little alcohol and things change in a hurry, okay? And so consent really does, for both partners, it really does get compromised when you add alcohol to the mix. And I think that's one of the fundamental problems here is when you put out, and that's one of the things that came out in the Kavanaugh hearings, what role did alcohol play? So that's one thing. Consent can look one way at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it can look a very different way at 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So we have to remember that. Second, there are some good advice for boys. The parents can give their boys. One is the 3-second rule.
Right.
Which
just
is
pause. Just
right.
wait.
Just there was something else where there was a 3-second. Oh, the take a breath.
Yeah.
Remember we did
take
a podcast
a couple
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Becoming a good listener is you take a breath, mm-hmm. or if you're teaching, there's something called wait time. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask a question and wait 5 seconds. Eventually, some student will respond. Mm-hmm. But if you ask a question and then respond too quickly, students get used to, well, he or she is going to answer her own
right.
question, so I don't
yeah.
need to. But if you leave that silence, so this is the 3-second rule.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing something and you touch another person, doesn't matter where you touch another person, wait 3 seconds to see what their response is. If they recoil or they move away, mm-hmm. it's very clear consent has not been granted.
Right.
If there's no movement or if there's assent, consent, then perhaps you can move forward and take
right.
a next, but take small steps and wait with each one.
Right.
And they give the example of the husband touching his wife on the hand, on the arm, on mm-hmm. the shoulder. And that's what you kind of have to do today.
Yeah.
Sober or not, that's what you have to do today. You're
yeah.
very, very cautious
mm-hmm.
about consent. It has to be on your mind.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so that pause is right. critical. And again, this is at times that are not under the influence of alcohol or any other
right.
substance.
It's easy to do if you're not drinking. I mean,
right.
it's easy to do in a chemistry class. Right.
right? Yeah.
But at a party with everything going on
right.
and you're watching other people going, you know, the context changes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put alcohol in there and inhibition is
right.
reduced.
Right.
We have to talk about a cup of tea.
That's
a wonderful analogy.
I really like that analogy.
Right. So
hot water.
Yeah, you warm the water.
That's right.
Okay, and you turn on the stove and you warm the water because
uh-huh.
somebody requests a
yeah.
cup of tea.
Right.
Okay. And so you turn on the stove and you warm the water and you let the tea, you pour it into the cup and you let the tea steep. And just as you're handing it to her, she says, I don't want any.
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
What should you not do?
Right.
Is the point. At that point, she doesn't want tea.
Right.
And you have to
yeah.
respect that.
Right.
It looks great, but I don't want
tea. The analogy is fantastic because, this was the mother in this story
right.
Had talked to her son about consent and everything, and so she used that mm-hmm. tea analogy, and she says,
right.
"So what do you do?" And he says, "Don't try to pour tea down her mouth."
Down her throat.
Yeah. yeah.
Don't pour hot tea in her mouth.
Yeah. So it's but it is the same idea that you know
right.
you can, and I hate it that because I remember when I was growing up, I remember people talking about I believe that there were even things on different programs and stuff about when you're with somebody and it gets to a certain point and they would refer to it as sort of the point of no return.
Right.
The you know there's once you get to this point mm-hmm. you're gonna and that's so frustrating to me and I remember even when I was a teenager that was frustrating because it didn't make sense to me that we're giving boys this idea that, well, if you get to this point, then you can just keep going because that's the point of no return.
Right.
And and we do have to teach our boys that you can't pour hot tea.
At any point in the process.
Right.
Right.
At any point, if there's a message that says no.
Right. Any indication.
Any indication.
At any point along the way. Because you might get right to the point where you're handing her the cup of tea
right.
and she says no. Okay.
Right.
I don't know whether people know this or not, but the code among boys, at least in my lifetime, not mm-hmm. 20 years ago or 40 years ago, my lifetime, there's some code among boys that says girls really want you
mm-hmm.
to do these things and you just have to be a little bit forceful.
Yeah, right.
They'll resist, but they really don't mean it.
Right.
And if you keep pressing,
mm-hmm.
you'll eventually get there.
Right.
But you have to be forceful in that. And I mean forceful.
Because women want a guy that takes charge.
That's right. They want you to take right. over, and they want you to do that. That's the code among boys.
Yeah.
Okay?
Historically.
Like it or not, if you don't know that, and you're raising dogs, please understand that that's the code among boys. It was 60 years ago. I mean, I can remember my uncles telling right. me this years ago, that, right. oh, son, this is what you have to do. And my peers telling me the same thing, that, mm-hmm. no, you just have to keep pushing, just push through it, because they really want to, but you just have to take over. You have to take it.
Right.
Take over sounds like sexual assault. Today, right. it's called sexual assault.
Right.
Okay. So this is
all. It was then.
It was. We just didn't call it right. that. I mean, nobody called it that because girls didn't report. This story in the Washington Post focuses on a woman who's an ER nurse. The mother right. is an ER nurse.
Right.
So she sees the results of these assaults right. in the emergency room
right.
and how girls change their mm-hmm. minds once they get into the bright lights of an emergency room. Mm-hmm. Suddenly everything changes. You know,
right.
what seemed like a good idea 2 hours ago suddenly is a very bad idea right, right now. So she's urging caution because mm-hmm. she has seen in the emergency room, she has seen these stories change.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
yeah,
be careful, but please understand how boys are talking to each other about this
right.
stuff.
Right, and if you have boys, we need to actively work against this.
Right.
Because
that's what they're hearing from their peers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to give them a very different story.
Right.
If you're raising boys, you really have to give them a very different story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So this is a massive issue, and necessitates a lot more discussion.
Right.
But we really encourage you to read this article. It's really well written,
mm-hmm.
and as is so many things in the Washington Post. So,
right.
But it's a great story. So check it out, read it, and let us know what you think.
Yes. Yeah. I'd like to really hear from listeners on this one. So
absolutely.
Please get in touch.
Absolutely. And before we go, I wanted to thank you guys. We've received a couple of mm-hmm. Ratings in iTunes recently. And we really appreciate that.
Right.
If you haven't had a chance to give us a rating or a review on iTunes, we would love for you to do so.
Right.
It does kind of boost us in the listings just a little bit, so that when somebody
in the mysterious world of internet ratings, we don't quite understand how the tabulations are made.
There is a podcast. That was, until recently, we've now bumped ahead of it in the little listings.
Are you going to talk?
I'm not going to say the name of it because...
I was going to say, this is a very thin sheet of ice that we're going on.
I know. The title of the podcast isn't even one that we'd be allowed to say on the podcast if we want to have
that's right.
An E rating, an E for everyone rating, a clean rating.
Right.
But yet that podcast was rated ahead mm-hmm. of us. So, we encourage you, if you have the opportunity,
right.
jump onto iTunes and leave us a review or rate us on there, and that will help boost us up so that shows like that aren't seen first from by new listeners.
And we have other shows where they haven't posted anything for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, they're so we don't understand the ratings, but we
right.
do know that if you evaluate a
right.
show, that it does. Does increase
right? Yeah, we do know that, and we kind of bumped up ahead of a couple shows, and that's when I went on and I could see mm-hmm. that we had a couple more ratings. So,
right.
thank you so much
for that.
That. And again, if you have the opportunity and you haven't yet, or you know what, you could probably go on and do it multiple times. Just keep rating. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if it.
Nobody knows. It's a mysterious process as to where you get placed in this thing.
I don't know what that algorithm.
And you know, when you go onto Google, the first couple of articles,
mm-hmm.
you know, are the ones that people tend to use. You
right.
know, you don't go to page 27.
Right.
You tend to stay on those first few pages.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's the same with podcasts.
Yeah.
But we don't understand how they do the tabulations. So thank you.
Yes.
For your help.
Absolutely. So thank you very much. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thank you.